Hey, Mr. One Stop, I'm looking for a record and it goes like this. Dun 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 dun.
Welcome to Addicted to the Needle,
the podcast where a vinyl addict meets his dealer. I'm your record dealer, Ben Shulman.
And I'm Patrick Foisy, the addict.
How are you today on this glorious fall afternoon?
You know what? Let's get right into it. Time for a beer.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Beer time.
It's good to lube up because we're going to a little event after this.
We are.
Usually after the show, I just get in my car and go to the closest restaurant, because usually I'm very hungry after we record. But yeah, what's happening this app? We're going to a 45-only record luau.
Yeah, one of the rare ones.
I think this is the second time it's ever happened.
In our fair city.
Yeah, because I think Denis from Le Pickup. With Beatnik also, apparently. But first time, it was just Denis who did it. Yeah, should be interesting. It's at 5 p.m., so it's drinking time, which is kind of fun. I don't know who's going to show up for this thing.
Let's celebrate.
Do your thing.
Beer o'clock. So we're gonna share, Ben.
Just in case the Gruesomes are listening, yes, Pat only has one, and we are sharing it. Maybe even later when we get to the bar where the little record show is,
I'll buy you one.
We could, you know, what we could do? We could get one beer and each have a straw and share. You know,
This one is called Match Parfait, Perfect Match. Yeah, it's a blanche, a lime. Flavored blanche with pink pepper.
It sounds pretentious.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah.
All right. So, hand me your glass, my friend.
We'll try it out. We'll see what this can. Ooh, that's a good pouring sound. I know how you got to get your sounds down. Oh my God, who taught you how to pour a fucking beer?
Well, I poured it so it sounded good.
Oh God. We are very, very, very high grade and professional here at Addicted to the Needle.
So the rest is yours.
Sure.
Here, you can.
It can go all directly right on the table. Should we cheers?
We should.
I can drink some of my foam.
All right.
Cheers.
And you know what? We're going to start right off the bat, and that's why we needed beer.
Sure, what are we doing?
We're going to be a bit controversial on this show.
Oh, God, don't tell me it's like a controversial episode of Name That Moldy Oldie. I don't know if I'm ready today.
No, actually, it's a very well-known track we're going to discuss.
Okay.
Didn't tell you before. And it's because it's a track we've mentioned numerous times on this podcast.
Interesting.
And it's been covered lately, and it's sort of became a bit viral on social media. Are you guessing what I'm talking about?
I'm usually more on the ball, but no, I don't know. Where are we going? What are we doing?
So, Bruce Springsteen
yes,
just did a cover of the infamous Northern Soul track of all time.
I'm hitting myself. Of course this is what you were going to talk about.
He did a cover of Frank Wilson's Do I Love You? In brackets, Indeed I Do.
Soul Records number 35019.
Two copies known?
I think two copies with like the label on it. And then I believe in the past 5-6 years, like a test pressing. Just like a kind of a blank label with a Joe Beat Publishing, a little blurb on it or something has surfaced. So you'd say there's like 2.5 copies.
All right.
Yeah.
So, you know, a Northern Soul anthem, if there
probably
was ever
the
one.
Northern Soul anthem.
Totally agree.
Just one of those songs where it's like you think back to, I guess it was like October, November 65. How the hell Berry Gordy didn't let this record come out.
Yeah, all the copies were trashed. That's why there's only a few surviving copies.
Well, because that's what's so interesting, just like a kind of a little sidebar discussing Do I Love You, and I'm sure we've talked about this exact thing on the show, where it's like Motown, there is more unreleased material than material that was actually released when it comes to Motown, like the heyday, Hitsville, Detroit, you know, between 62 and 70.
The vaults are overflowing.
Yeah, well, for like every...
Unlike the beer at the Park Avenue headquarters.
It's okay. Café Atomique will... Jill will take care
we'll remedy that.
There's so much unreleased stuff, you know, that like, you know, there's acetates floating around, and like Motown has put out compilations over the years of unreleased material. What's amazing with the Frank Wilson record is that it literally got to the point where it had a label. It was on the Soul label with a designated number, and like they had labels pressed up and made as promo copies. That's what's kind of like astonishing, is that it got that far
down the pipeline.
Yeah, that it was like, I don't know. It's such a weird story. And apparently, you know, there was a handful made and they were ordered to be destroyed, and, you know, that's why I believe there's still, oh, there's another one out there somewhere.
So, the boss, you know.
Bruce Springsteen, not Berry Gordy, the other, the New Jersey boss.
Yeah, out of New Jersey, got hip to that track later in his career, I guess.
Well, it's very possible, I mean, that he's known it for years, and bear in mind, Steven Van Zandt is in his band, Steven Van Zandt of Little Steven's Underground Garage, who is like an aficionado of like obscure garage and soul music. So I feel like Bruce Springsteen is aware of a lot more obscure music than you're giving him credit for.
Maybe. So yeah, there's a live version of the track of that song floating around in the internets. And
is it live, or it's just the music video? It looks like he's performing it live, but it's a recorded track. It's just the video.
I think it's an upcoming track on a upcoming album.
Well, the whole album that he's coming out with is all soul covers.
Yeah, but it's not out yet.
No,
right.
But I mean, but you're talking about this live version. It's not live. It is the recorded version. It just looks live in the video.
So
yeah.
Oh. I thought it was just like a...
Sorry to rain on your parade.
I thought it was just the song being performed.
No, it's just a good music video.
And it stirred up a lot of opinions. But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it has a widely positive... impact.
I didn't see anything negative about it. And if anyone has anything negative to say about it, I can imagine exactly what that kind of person like sounds and looks like, and they will fuck themselves.
Well, that would be me.
No, wow. Woo. God, we are not friends today. What, you don't like it? What's your problem?
Let me put things in context.
I was thinking of like a curmudgeonal British man, not the French-Canadian guy sitting across from me. Uh-oh.
It's not that I don't like the song. It's not that I don't like his rendition. It's just that prior to this, all right, let's make this clear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the most controversial part. I've never liked Bruce Springsteen.
I don't care for him either.
I think he's one of the overrated artists. I don't understand why people put him on such a high pedestal.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why, but first thing, I do agree with you. I've never like whatever. It's there. But funny thing is, like, I have like Sirius Radio in my car, and I have like the Underground Garage station on all the time. And again, little Steven Van Zandt's association with Bruce Springsteen is they often play Bruce Springsteen tracks like on the garage. Really? The Underground Garage channel is not a garage channel. They play like maybe once every like 3 months. I'll hear like something from Nuggets. They barely play 60s garage music. Every time Bruce Springsteen comes on, I change it. So I've never really cared that much for him either. But I think for like, you know, teenagers in America in the 70s, I don't know, he just like epitomized like, because he kind of like was like rock, but like appealed, I think, to like a lot of like shithead, like America, you know, like, yeah,
he's,
I don't know.
He's very blue collar. And that might be one of the reasons why it sort of doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, he's super blue collar. He did a freaking podcast with Obama.
Well, he's, you know, his songs are about the working class man.
Yeah.
And he's a multimillionaire. So, you know.
Well, I mean, he wasn't a multimillionaire, you know.
He's been for a very long time.
But
for decades.
But again, I see like the, you know, I see what people like about him, but it's just, it's never really been my thing. But so this is leading up to, so you don't like his version of the song just because you don't like him?
You know what? I don't dislike this. I'm just trying to be controversial. Yeah. I don't dislike his version.
You're such a contrarian.
I am.
Maybe we can get you in your mod suit after and we'll go find a biker outside and you guys can fight.
But it's just that I would have liked anybody but him do it, probably.
Yeah, it's
but he, you know what?
It's fine.
I'll give him credit for
popularizing such a great song.
For one, and hitting it on the nail. It's
a great cover.
It's solid. It's
done well, yeah.
And it's here's the surprising part. It's probably my favorite song of him from his entire catalog.
Yeah. Again, never really been much of a Bruce Springsteen fan. And I think it's cool that he did it. And because I remember like seeing somewhere, hearing somewhere that it's like people were talking about this upcoming album and it's like, oh, it's all like 70s soul covers. And like, I'm like, well, this song's from 65. And like, I think whoever I was listening to, it might've been on some podcast. I think they were possibly mistaken. I think it's going to focus more on 60s soul music, but like, it makes sense. Like you can hear it in his music. Like he's definitely influenced by it. I mean, he's always got a horn section. He's always got like, you know, cause he's like, it's like pop rock, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I think, and it's funny cause it's like, I think sometimes like we would think like, oh, like people don't know Do I Love You by Frank Wilson, but it's pretty well known at this point. I mean, it's not going to get the same attention as like My Girl or Stop in the Name of Love or Sugar Pie Honey Bunch, but
or
like
Baby Love. Or
yeah, exactly. But I think it's like you go on Spotify now and put on like a Motown playlist, like it'll come on. That's what I mean. And when because it was issued as a single in England in like the 70s. So it's, I feel like British people really know it. Even people that weren't necessarily
it
in the Northern
hit.
Soul
it
scene. It's
hit.
Like people know the song. Anyway, I think it's cool.
So if that cover turns people on to soul music,
yeah,
that I'm all for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce, why don't you come on the show and defend yourself?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I tried to get Robbie Robertson. That didn't work. So maybe now we'll try.
And
to
I'm
reset
living
to-
in a blue collar part of town. So you and I'm we're actually sitting in an old factory.
Could write a song about it. Pat's in the old factory listening to his 45s. That's my Bruce Springsteen.
Not that bad.
Yeah, I know.
Actually, I like you better than him.
Oh, come on. Yeah, it could be, it's almost like a Jewish sounding name. It could be Ben Springsteen. Anyway, moving right along. Want to hear a record?
Yep.
All right. First up, Coco Boogaloo by Marius. What's his name again? Marius. Oh, this is embarrassing because I feel like people.
So that one wouldn't pop up on the Underground Garage podcast.
I doubt it on that radio show. Again, that channel went from maybe like 10 years ago, really like a lot of obscure garage music. Like there still are times you will hear it because there are certain DJs on that station who will play that kind of stuff, but it's like you'll like randomly be listening to it and it's like the Temptations come on and it's like okay, it's like it's just kind of become like an oldies mixed with like even like newer like Prince, like they play Prince all the time. Yeah, it's kind of just become like a bit of everything, and then like every now and then it's like I heard like 125 like a year ago and I was like oh cool, and that was like the one time that ever happened. This record, Coco Boogaloo by Marius. What the hell is his last name? So this was a Quebecois performer, black guy, made a couple of albums in the late 60s, but this 45, Coco Boogaloo, I was saying before we started recording, this is probably the only Quebecois Boogaloo 45, you know, recorded here in Montreal.
So we're talking about Latin.
Yeah. Latin Boogaloo. This is, I guess this 45 is from like 69. I think both sides are pretty cool. The other side's called Les Araignées, so the spiders. The spiders. Anyhow,
oh, I'm
it took me forever to find a copy of this 45, and yesterday I found another one, so perfect timing for Addicted to the Needle. So here it is for the first time on our show, Coco Boogaloo by Marius. Okay, so that's his name. It's Marius Cloutier.
No, Mario Cloutier. I'm pretty sure that's it.
Well, it's fine. Well, no, I mean, his name is literally like, it's Marius Cloutier, but I guess the way they're singing it. So I'm mistaken. So he's not actually from Quebec. He was born in Martinique.
Oh, I see.
He ended up living in France.
They do say during the track, Buds Canada in Lower Canada,
which is Quebec.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because that's what it was called, you know, in like 1860. So kind of cool. But yeah.
Kind of cool?
Yeah, very cool.
It's incredible.
Well, again, because I know how much you love like the Latin Boogaloo stuff. And like, it's funny, I actually have another Boogaloo record in my box for you today. But this is just so interesting because, yeah, it's Canadian. It didn't come out anywhere but Canada and was recorded here. To my knowledge, I believe this was recorded in Quebec. Maybe I'm wrong. It has to be. Yeah. I mean, he's literally talking about Canada. I mean, it was one of those situations like a Billy Martin or a Billy Horn or the Miller Sisters and, you know, Duke Edwards, all these, you know, African-American artists, or in this case, island artists who kind of, he probably lived here for a year or something.
I can't believe I'm just discovering this.
It's so funny because when I found the other copy yesterday, I'm like, ooh, I could bring this to Pat. And then I was like racking my brain. I was like, did I not sell him this like a decade ago?
No, I didn't know this existed.
See, isn't it great when I come over?
I'm still processing.
I know. I love this. You're in like a state of shock.
I am.
It's great.
And it's been a while, I feel, that you shocked me that strongly.
I don't know if I should be offended or complimented. No, I'm kidding.
Of course, you're the best.
You heard it here, people.
Okay. All right.
Get your thoughts together.
Get my bearings back here, Pat. All right. So,
what do you make of it?
Well, it's sold. All right. Yeah. Let's move on because I'm too speechless.
I guess I knocked it out of the park with that one.
Oh, God, yes.
Cool record.
So you mentioned before that in the car you listen to a Sirius XM.
I do.
So here's an update on my ever-changing, growing, evolving, my whole hi-fi setup, stereo system listening experience at the Park Avenue HQ.
I'm sure everyone is at the edge of their seat to hear about your sound system in your loft.
Well, if you know, we nerd out on records, so I don't see why we couldn't nerd out on, you know, hi-fi equipment.
I'll let you nerd sit here and I'll go, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, Marantz, yeah, you got to have that. Oh, yeah, yo, those speak great. Technics? Sure.
Well, yeah. I just got my Marantz 2020B amplifier serviced, and it's back, and it looks beautiful.
And sounds good?
I haven't plugged it in yet because I need speakers to go with that setup. Anyway.
You're working on it.
I'm going to show you the last thing I bought for my setup.
All right.
I'm not just going to show it to you. I'm going to hand it to you.
Okay.
So this is it. So describe for our addicts out there what does it look like? What I handed
you. A USB key.
Yeah. That's like, exactly like a little bigger USB key.
It almost looks like you could plug like an iPhone into it, and it's got a headphone jack and I don't know. What am I looking
at? Well, you're
made in China.
That was my main concern. But
it's a small object, but it looks fancy.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't look cheap. And when you first see made in China, you go, is that good? Is that good?
Yeah.
So my guy, my stereo guy, my hi-fi guy. Show me this little, it looks like a, yeah, USB key.
Definitely.
Or exactly the size of a lighter.
Yeah.
Like a Bic lighter.
Sure.
And you're right. There is a place to plug in your iPhone, and there is a place to plug in like a headphone jack. So this is called a dongle. What is it exactly? So it's made by Cayenne. C A Y I-N, Cayen.
All right.
So here's the box. So the exact model, if you wanted to look it up on the net, it's a discrete R-2R RU6 doggle. And what it does, it will process the sound coming out of either your phone or your streaming service.
Oh, and it'll put it through your system?
Through the system. But you could do that with, you know, like a Bluetooth connection or right. something like that. That's not what's interesting about this. So this will process the sound. And the only way I can describe it is that it will transform your digital sounding track.
Yeah.
You know, your cheap MP3 track.
Right.
And make it sound like vinyl.
Hmm.
So we're...
It's like a fun gadget.
It is.
Yeah.
So, you know, here we're addicted to the needle.
Right.
Vinyl is our lifeblood.
It's funny because, like, it's not, but I guess for the sake of this podcast, I won't listen to anything if it's not on vinyl, bro.
Or even 45. But
it's funny, just to remark on that thing you just said, because it's like, I love 45s, but like, I don't even care about LPs. But really, man, this is a record show, vinyl, gotta always hear that, or else I don't want anything to do with it. Fuck yeah.
But seriously,
but I'm sure it makes it sound really cool.
We're music lovers.
Yes, we are.
Up and foremost. And we like to discover new old music.
Like to discover new music from 1963. Exactly. It's still new to us.
So this little device, until I heard it being used, you know, I didn't even know this existed. And this is like the entry level, you know, model. It goes for around $350 just wow. for this. But the way it processes sound, and that's why I was never like a big digital listener.
Right.
So I don't have SiriusXM.
Right.
I don't listen to Spotify. Until I got this, and I just I researched online which of the streaming services were the best for sound quality. And
does it really? Is there a difference?
Absolutely.
No kidding.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know. I've been using Spotify for years. I find it sounds great.
Yeah, because you're not a audiophile.
When we get in my car after this, like with the speakers in my car, I'll put Spotify on. You sit there and tell me it doesn't sound good.
It does.
Yeah. But it can sound better?
It can. Oh, that's the whole thing. That's the audiophile trap. But this you can use and just put your headphones, your phone on one end and your a good pair of headphones on the other. And it'll make a difference.
Interesting.
I put it on my, you know, now, you know, very curated, sound system. My quad and my Bang Olufsen and my speakers. And this, you can unplug it and plug it back in, and you know. Here's the thing. When you listen to MP3s, it sounds digital compared to an analog recording.
Yeah. Because it's so condensed everything, I guess.
Absolutely. And so it's not, for me, it's not the medium. It's not the fact it's on vinyl.
Yeah.
It's the fact that it was recorded analog.
Well, yeah, it could be said that it's like, you know, when you have an amazing sound system, it's like, yes, you want to listen to it on the original vinyl release because this is how it was created to sound, you know, to have optimum fidelity in this way. So I get that.
So it's not, you know, when we talk about vinyl being a warmer sound, more organic sound. It's not necessarily the medium. It's not the vinyl. It's the way it was recorded.
Yeah.
It's the analog recording of it.
Right.
And now everything are one and zeros, you know? It's digital.
Oh, yeah.
This little device will...
Enhance
it and make it sound warmer. And that's the reaction I got. You saw my reaction with the Coco Boogaloo track.
Yeah, yeah.
This exactly the reaction what I got when I used this device, when it was used in the showroom where I go.
Cool.
And I went...
It's like a fun thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's... So... For you guys out there, if you want to listen to digital radio or a streaming service, and you want to get the feel of a vinyl, the warmth of analog recordings, this is what I recommend. And we're not being sponsored.
Yeah, I was
either.
About to say, I'm like, are they paying you?
No,
like, you're really
not.
Passionate about this this product.
So I researched the. Streaming services that were best with.
Yeah, I'm curious. What's like the best one, apparently?
The one I subscribed to, and well, actually, it was a wedding anniversary gift.
Oh, cool.
To my wife. A year's subscription to. It's called Tidal.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
And they're part of the big ones with, you know, Spotify
and Apple Music.
Music.
Yeah, I've heard of them, sure.
YouTube Music and such. And Tidal has a really high quality and it's not as compressed, and they also give more money back to the artist, which is kind of
a
bonus.
Spotify gives them like what, like a tenth of a penny for every like 400 streams.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's pretty pathetic. Yeah,
and I tested it here on my system and it sounds just amazing.
Cool.
So here you go.
All right.
Time for another track.
My turn? Your turn?
No, your turn.
All right.
Let's go analog.
Yeah, back to mono. Do you have this already?
I don't think so.
All right. Soul Record on the Mala label, subsidiary of Bell. Think it's from... Yeah, 66, maybe 67. This is a track called Aching All Over by Randolph Walker.
That's not a cover, is it?
No. Okay. Well, there's Hurtin' All Over. That's a track by the Willows, a Canadian girl group. But no, this is Aching All Over, Randolph Walker. I think you're going to like this.
From your sweet tender lip, and you got me aching all over. You got me aching all over, baby. Hey, hey, hey. Aching all over, way deep down inside. When I see you with another, tears start flowing from my eyes. Facts. I know
So
this is just plain solid.
Yeah, it's just solid. It's good old reliable.
Yep.
It's got like a bit of like a Stax feel, you know, a bit of that Southern soul thing going on. Just looking at the label to see if
raw voice and energy.
It's just good.
Yeah.
Take it?
Take it.
Sold. All right. Randolph Walker. I don't know anything about him. I don't know who he is. He sounds like he might be white.
You think so?
Yeah.
You know what? Let me just check here.
Maybe there's a picture of him. Because I don't know if this guy...
No. Oh, no. He's from Tarnaston, Georgia?
All right.
Oh, no.
Okay.
He's a 60s, 70s soul artist from Tarnaston, Georgia.
So he has a couple other records, obviously, right?
About 645.
All right. Randolph Walker.
Oh, wait. I have another one from him.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Shindy Butterfly, and the other B-side is Pride and Soul.
No idea.
It's on Chant Records.
Hey, for all I know, you're making it up.
No, it's not a fake moldy oldie.
All right, two in the bag. Where do we go now on this fine episode?
So I went digging myself.
Ooh.
So I went back to a friend of the show, friend of ours.
Oh, yeah.
John Davis from The Gruesomes.
Yes.
I spoke about that a few episodes back, that he put his hands on a treasure trove of mod revival power pop punky 45s and albums.
Well, it's funny because, you know, when you refer to 45s from that era, you have to call them 7 inches. You ever notice that's like a thing? Yeah, like, you know, like no one ever says like a, you know, like a punk 45, it's a punk 7-inch or a mod revival 7-inch. It's like once it's like if it's from post 1980, it's a 7-inch.
True.
You ever noticed that? Yeah.
I never thought about that.
That's a thing.
True. And so last time I bought stuff from John, I went for the classics because this is not the type of records we find here.
Not really. And it's funny, if I do ever come across something like that, which is so freaking rare.
It comes directly here.
Yeah, and it doesn't really ever happen. So, nope.
So last time I sort of completed my Jam 7-inch collection and went for the big hits. And
do you have like most of the 45s by the Jam?
Now I do.
Yeah.
How many, though?
They must have had quite a few.
Oh, they do. Yeah. And I think I have most of their albums. I don't have like their live Japan albums or Peel Sessions or stuff like that. So this time around, I went and pretty much bought stack of 7-inches blindly of bands I've heard of before.
Yeah, but if it was just like a little familiar, you just said, I'll buy it.
I'll buy it. Yeah. And it's more of a British, you know, thing. We had the what was the band that
are you talking specifically mod revival?
They did a what's the song I'm thinking about? They did a Throgs cover.
Oh, the Teen Beats.
The Teen Beats.
Yeah. That record sold like a bazillion copies.
It was a hit in Montreal.
I can't control myself. Yeah, that record is everywhere in this city. Yeah.
Because it was a hit.
It's a huge
hit
here.
So that and some of the, you know, the usual two-tone bands like Madness, English Beat, and the Specials, they made their way to, you know, North America, Canada. But the more obscure, you know, smaller labels of mod revival stuff, you just don't find.
Well, and it's funny too, because specifically like with these 7-inches from the 80s, is that these were bands and like records coming out at a point where it's like now records had become like a niche item, where like kind of comparing it to like 60s garage punk records,
those things. Yeah, those records, albums were more popular than 7-inches.
Well, no, but not what I'm saying is like, you know, 45s from the 60s, like, you know, 125 by The Haunted or Nothing by The Ugly Ducklings. Like these records now in retrospect that we call like proto-punk, the reason they're out there is because, like, they charted on, like, you know, city charts and, you know, national charts and stuff. It's like these were still items that kind of, like, got around. They were, like, kind of mass distributed, where it's like a lot of these bands, 7 inches, it's like, it's not like they were, like, it was more, it, that's the point where it became like selling records at shows and kind of getting the record directly straight from the band kind of thing, you know, where, so it's like, that's why a lot of that stuff is so freaking hard to find, because there was no channel of real international distribution for a lot of this stuff.
True.
Right.
The thing is, I'm smiling as you say that, because you never got to experience walking into a Sound of Records, man.
No.
When you were young.
No.
And looking at the chalkboard of the week's,
top,
you know,
10,
the week's releases.
Right.
And going, oh, there's going to be a new Smiths album. Great. I can't wait.
No, I missed that by...
So
for a few years.
For us going to Discus or Sam the Record Man or HMV, those were in the imports section.
Right.
And if you went to like smaller
more like boutique shops,
places, like in Montreal there was one called Dutchies that were more towards, you know, alternative music.
Right.
You'd see stickers on the sleeve, you know, on the seal that said import.
Right.
So you could, you know, if you like a band, go, okay, can you check out your distribution channels and get me the new Squire import?
Because, again, pre-internet, where it's like you had to have a relationship with the record store because that was who was going to find you this thing, you know, which is interesting because it's like you said, it's like I never really got to experience that because by the time I was old enough, well, it's kind of weird because by the time I was old enough to buy records, I was going to record stores, but it wasn't like that anymore because like CDs had already been a thing for like, you know, 5 years before I was born. I mean, I was born in 92. I mean, like CDs had kind of taken over, what, 88, 89 is when it really changed.
Try to think of when I first bought a CD, but
because I think of albums that came out in like 87, 88, like Bad by Michael Jackson. You still see that LP, but it's like albums that came out 2 years later. Like you don't see vinyl of it. It's only like it was just CDs.
That's right.
It was really the end of the 80s. So yeah, so it's like, it was very different, I guess, in my experience, but that is kind of cool that you got to.
So yeah, he put his hands on a collection of somebody that, you know, specifically bought, I think, for his personal collection.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And so I have a little pile for you. So what we'll do, you'll go through it.
Yeah.
You can name the you know, titles and the bands. And let's just pick one out.
I'll pick the coolest looking one.
And listen to it.
All right. The Times, theme from Danger Man. I mean, that looks like sci-fi-y. Squire, Girl on a Train, Secret Affair, Let Your Heart Dance, Secret Affair, Sound of Confusion, The Chords. That kind of sounds familiar. Maybe we'll play that one. The Times, Squire, Secret Affair, Back to Zero.
Well, you know what? That's one of the best ones.
Which one?
Bobby, when
this
he...
This one?
Yeah, Bobby Beaton from
Your
The
Goosebumps.
When he saw I picked that one out, he went, this is the best, you know, mod revival track ever.
Ooh, the Lambrettas. Oh, them I've heard of.
Yeah, I have the album. I used to own a few. Like I had, you named something else that I had. Secret Affair. I heard the album.
I had this. I don't think I have it anymore. I think I lent it to someone and never got it back. I had this compilation. It was like a double LP. It was like on vinyl, like a double album thing with just like a scooter on the cover. And it was just called like Mod Revival. And I think like,
well,
all of these bands,
there's one that's like that. And it's called I Can't Control Myself, actually.
Maybe there was that. Yeah, one. It's a white album cover with a scooter on it.
Yeah. And that was widely available here.
Oh, okay. Right.
And with very obscure bands for some reason on that compilation.
I feel like that band, the Lambrettas, was on it. Cause like, that must have been where I know them from. Yeah.
So this is actually a
Back to Zero.
Yeah, that's the name of the band. And this was highly recommended by Bobby Eaton.
And I guess
from
they're
the
British.
Gruesomes.
Yeah, from 1979. So what side? Your Side of Heaven, that's on the A side, and the B side's called Back to Back.
Let's play the A side.
All right. So, playing a record not from the 60s, that's a shock, from 1979, Back to Zero.
With a nice picture sleeve.
Yes.
So let's turn things around this time. So what do you think?
Oh, I love that. I love this kind of music. I love mod revival. I mean, it's just, you know, the extension of 60s garage rock, you know, and, you know, the mod kind of sound. Like this song in particular, catchy as hell. It kind of made me think of like Open Up Your Door by Richard and the Young Lions.
Yeah.
I want to love you some more, you know, kind of like.
Yeah, I see that.
Group vocal thing. Yeah, this stuff's super cool. Like I said, it's like I'm always happy to listen to like playlists of this stuff. Funny, Taryn and I actually like a month ago, we were driving somewhere and I put on the Flaming Groovies, you know, who are like, what I love about them is like that album from 76, that song Shake Some Action, or it's like, you know, it sounds like it's from the 60s, but it's the 70s, you know. And then kind of like all these other, you know, Spotify just kept playing all kinds of random stuff that fell into that genre, and like a lot of the mod revival. I'm like, it's freaking cool. Actually, when I was on my way here, I heard Park Life by Blur on Underground Garage. And it's like, it's funny because that's from like 90.
That's sort of the third wave of mod, you know, with Oasis. And,
but it's funny with that song because like I hear it and I hear, like thinking about Park Life there, it's like I hear John's Children, who was the 60s band that Mark Bolan was in before T-Rex. And like this, and but or like the Small Faces, you know, kind of like Lazy Sunday, you know, with like that cockney kind of like fuck you attitude. And it's just like, but this is so good. Oh, sorry, I kind of put that in the wrong way.
Doesn't matter. Just don't hit the microphone when you do.
Sorry. But
I'm thinking of the addicts out there to always hear us play with the microphones and it must be going crazy. Are you doing it on purpose? Stop.
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, anyway. Jesus. Okay.
It's like eating with your mouth open.
Your Side of Heaven. Yeah, it's really catchy. But yeah, that's like super cool. And I always figured it's like maybe at some point in my life I'll start, you know, collecting these kinds of things. But again, you know, I'm happy to throw on a playlist or a comp and hear this kind of stuff. You know, it's
well, I know I saw pictures from record convention. We're gonna record convention is
record
a
convention.
Big name for where we're gonna go.
It's
go
like a bunch
to
of dorks in a bar in the East End.
Well, a cafe, technically. Cafe Atomique.
Yeah, but it is a bar, too, right? You sell
they just sell alcohol, but it's really a cafe. So, yeah, I saw pictures of, you know, 7 inches like that. So I'm going to directly to that table.
Beatnik has quite a few of those kinds of things. They got like a bit of a treasure trove of that era of 7 inches.
And going into that type of sound, and I mentioned... it was my 11th wedding anniversary last week.
Man, time flies.
It does.
Jeez.
And you were there.
I was there. I DJ'd your wedding. You're going to DJ mine.
Yep.
There we go.
So
11 and a half years later. We've known each other a long time. I remember like thinking, I'm like, man, I've known Pat now for 5 years. I've known Pat for 8 years. I've known Pat for like 13, 14 years at this point.
So the my little present for our wedding anniversary was a subscription to Tidal.
Yes.
My gift was a date, and we went to see a concert.
Yes.
So it had been a while, I think. You know, since the pandemic, the things, you know, concerts have been slowed down a bit,
but now it's like back.
It's back. It's back. And I went to see a band I knew nothing about, really. So, and Nikki just figured, yeah, Pat's gonna like this.
Yeah,
let's go see this. So we went to see Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
Yep.
So they're not a cover band; they are the cover band.
Yeah,
that's how they present themselves. So they're sort of a super group, mainly based out of California.
Yeah. They've been around a long time now. It's got to be like 20-something years.
Because there's a few rotating members, I think, of band members. And, well, actually, this time around, the drummer was from the UK.
Okay.
Drummer from The Damned.
Cool.
And so they're basically sort of a punk supergroup.
Yeah, but you could kind of classify them as like garage revival-y. Like I feel like they fit a little bit into that category.
They're a little bit more punky.
Yeah, because I was saying garage. When you mentioned it before, because I remember my little brother, shout out Sam, who's been on the show. I remember. It's funny, like, I actually used to go, because, like, when I was a teenager, I was so focused on like only 60s music that I would actually go to Sam. For
what's current.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, he was always so meticulous. Like, on his iTunes, he had like the album cover and everything. He always had it, like, so it was always easy. I'd just go steal his music. And I remember listening to Me First in the Gimme Gimmes, and I remember like really liking it. It's been over a decade, but must have been a fun show.
It was. And so they do covers of other genres that they adapt to, like a punk sound. And we were sitting in the audience, and my wife was looking around, and she went,
"What venue was that?"
Club Soda.
Okay, cool.
So she went. We actually went for supper near, not Club Soda, but another club. And then we figured out we were at the wrong place, so we had to rush to Club Soda. Yeah, we were at Café Campus.
Oh, and you're not that far away, a couple blocks.
Yeah, 15 minute walk.
Down the hill, yeah.
Anyway, so we were sitting and we were looking at the audience, and you could tell it was like a sort of a, you know, punk crowd type.
Yeah.
And she goes, I don't get why there's so many people wearing NoFX t-shirts. Well, it's because one of the band members was in NoFX before. So
there you go.
So that's when it started making sense to me. And they do covers of well-known songs that are not punk, but they adapt it so masterfully. And the lead singer is like sort of a lounge singer. He looked like a Elton John impersonator, but with real hair, basically. So they all had like purple shirts.
Yeah, I know they dress and, wacky.
Like, yeah, and they it sort of has like a Soul Review aesthetic also.
Right. I feel like I remember they had an album cover where they were all dressed up like bees or something. Like,
yeah, because there was a T-shirt at the merch table with a bee on it.
So, like, what kind of what song did they do where you were like, "Oh, this is cool"?
Well, I'm gonna slip in a song in the next few seconds of one of their
punk renditions.
I don't know if you could call it one of their hits, but. They do a cover of Jolene by Dolly Parton. Oh, my God. And the funny thing is seeing all those middle-aged punk guys, you know, singing at the top of their lungs.
Jolene. Please don't take my man.
So here's what it sounded like. So that's just one of the examples that they did. What else did? Yeah, they did four country songs. That was one of them. They did a. Let me think. Anyway, they do like pop songs. They do country songs, and sometimes it has more of a little ska beat to it.
Well,
sometimes
you know, it's funny. And, it makes me think of like.
Oh yeah, they did Paula Abdul.
Oh God,
and it was really good too.
Reminds me of another artist, and like I think this was actually a hit at the time in the 90s. There was this guy who did like a lounge version of Wonderwall.
We played it on the show.
Yes, we did. That's embarrassing. Yes, we did. Who was that?
The
again?
Flower pop group.
Yes, but there was another. There's another guy. And I probably mentioned that in that episode. Yeah, that's right. We did play that on this show. Because I think about the music video. I love the music video. There's this other guy that my older brother Andrew had shown me once. His name is Richard Cheese.
And yeah, like, we mentioned
short,
him
Dick,
too.
Dick Cheese.
Yeah.
And like he kind of does like, you know, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin's, you know, versions of, it's always fun. It's like, and I'm sure in that episode I probably mentioned the exact same thing. It's like that band on YouTube, something orchestra, like they do different, they take any kind of song and they do it in all kinds of different versions. They'll do like a 30s, you know, jazz kind of rendition, and they'll do like a, you know, 50s rock and roll version, and like, yeah. Oh, what are they called?
But
again?
Those guys are all punk, you know?
Yeah.
So,
good show.
Does my wife know me or what?
Yeah.
It was great.
You guys, yeah, you know what's up. You guys have a good chemistry. Well, how about another record?
You're going to sell me one.
This song is called Let Me Hear You Say Yeah.
I could start a suite with just tracks with yay and the title.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Let Me Hear You Say Yeah by The Originals on the Original Sound record label. Yeah,
I want to hear everybody say, yeah.
Get off my feet. Yeah.
I want to hear you say.
So ask me if I want this record.
I know what you're going to say. Do you want this record?
Yeah.
Man, I want to do my Bruce Springsteen version. Let me hear you say, yeah, the boys in blue. What? Anyway.
So I...
It'd be a great record to start a set with. I love records with like that kind of...
an intro.
Churchy... Gospel intro.
Yeah.
Maybe speed it up a little, but it's like, I can imagine starting with that and then going into that record you have, you've had this one forever, Yeah Yeah by Preston something.
Preston Epps Trio.
Or are you looking at it right now?
It's in front of me.
It's like, and like the vocals by a guy named like Andre Franklin or something. Yeah. I remember that, and I repeating myself a lot. That's a record we heard Ty play it, I think, for the first time together at Mod Club when he came.
And we wanted it so badly.
Ty Gesso, shout out, was like such an influence, I think, on both of us for like everything. I remember going over to his house 11 years ago in 2011. I remember I went to Providence, Rhode Island to visit. My cousin was going to Brown at the time. And I remember I went over to Ty's place and like, I was like a kid. I was like 18, 19 years old. And just like, he had... so much stuff. I was so overwhelmed. I don't even remember what I bought or anything. And I mean, I didn't really have any money at that time. I was a kid. But man, that guy turned us on to a lot of great tracks.
Oh, for sure.
So what do you think about
this? He's a mentor.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
he's been doing it forever.
You were wondering if I had it. I don't.
Yeah.
So I went on my Discogs and I just typed in yeah. And you know how many tracks I have with the word yeah in the title?
All right, let me guess.
So Y-E-A-H.
45.
That's way too much.
Really?
Yeah. I have 18.
Yeah, I would have thought it would have been more than that.
Well,
but you know what? But then you probably have records with yeah without the H. And then yeah, just Y-A. You know, if you probably combined all of the different variations of yeah... Maybe you've got a bit more.
Maybe.
I want to hear you say yeah.
You know, I have a couple of Quebec ones with Donald Lautrec.
T'as
qu'à dire yeah.
That's right. So can I play you one more?
Sure.
Are we crazy? Well, you have a feature record, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I guess we'll finish off with that.
No, I have an ending track.
Well, let's do one more. We'll do your feature and then...
Sure.
So this one by a group that I think they had a hit in the late 50s. Little Joe Cook and the Thrillers. I think their hit was Peanuts. This is a record on the label, a label called Top Top, and the track is called Do Dang Thing.
Ooh.
So it's funny.
Sounds good already.
I've had this record for years, and I recently just got another one. So, in Addicted to the Needle fashion, where does my spare copy end up? Right here. I haven't. It looks like it's kind of in rough shape, and I never cleaned it, so this is really going to be an experiment. I hope it sounds good. But anyhow, what a cool title. Do,
off the cuff.
Do Dang Thing on the Top Top label.
Mix of almost garage and soul.
It's greasy.
It's sort of in the middle.
Well, it's got, because it's got the guitar is so prominent.
So the guitar is like
too loud almost.
And it's the guitar,
it's crunchy,
is being played like a bass. It sounds like a bass.
Good observation. Sound. Damn, yeah, it is.
Almost like My Baby Likes the Boogaloo. Ding, ding, you know, it's very prominent.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot how good this record was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's, I like it.
But yeah, like you said, good transition record for kind of garage soul, falls in the amber tones, clap your hands, kind of.
True.
You know, that kind of set record, but it's good. Sounded pretty okay. I mean, it's visually not the nicest looking copy.
Yeah, I think
copy,
it needs a little cleaning maybe.
Yeah, because I think, I don't remember if this is the, because I found another copy and I think they were both in about the same shape. I can't remember if this is the one I had forever before. Well, anyhow.
Yeah,
hey, I got some good records for you today.
You sure do.
So what are you going to play for me? I know you've you always have something up your sleeve.
This has been on the shelf for quite a while.
Right.
And it was just pushed back every episode.
Because you always have something amazing by the time we get together.
Yeah, and the one I wanted to really feature, I thought I put it somewhere, couldn't find it. And this was just like... moving down the line.
But now?
Now it's time to shine. And yeah, it's a 1961 R&B new breed dancer.
All right.
So I'll let you introduce it. And let me see.
Beautiful record. This just looks like it's brand new. On the Open G label, based out of the Ebony Hotel at 142nd West 112th Street, New York City, and the phone number is on there too. here am I in brackets. Try Me by Lois Blaine and Tuffy Mitchell's Four Sounds, written by Lewis Owens and Goldberg. Open G music, Goldberg.
Guess probably a relative of yours.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know us. We're a DEFCON 3, man. Kanye West is coming for us. Oh, you know, geez. The record business. God, oy vey. Yeah, this looks like an immaculate record. I don't think I've ever heard. This is the one you were pondering. Had we played it on the show before?
Yeah, because I have another record. I think that's the same title. Here I Am.
Because I feel like last time I was here, you showed me this one, and you're like, and yeah, and I was like, oh, I think we did play this.
Yeah, but it was the same title. But
I don't remember, artists. But hey, let's hear it. Here Am I by Lois Blaine from the Ebony Hotel. That's pretty cool that it says that right on
the line. Well, I hope it doesn't sound schmaltzy like it's from the Howard Johnson Hotel.
I feel like Ebony Hotel sounds a lot cooler than the Howard
Johnson.
Well,
it's in New York.
It's so funny. Speaking of that Howard Johnson thing, my brother had posted some acetate
on Instagram.
And someone... who wasn't either of us. I wasn't even
no,
sure.
No, it's your brother.
No, but someone else commented about like how it sounded Howard Johnson-y, and I was like, man.
Yeah, I saw
people,
that.
People listen to our show, I guess. Anyway, here am I. Mama.
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby, try me.
That's like the exact kind of record I was like obsessed with 7 years ago.
Well, aren't you as excited as you would be 7 years ago?
Oh yeah, I mean it's funny. This isn't the most you track I've ever heard.
No, but you this is the Ben influence.
Yeah, because it's
the power of Schulman.
It's so 1961 because it's got like the string arrangements. Which like were found. It's like basically like "Will You Love Me Tomorrow" by the Shirelles came out, and then every producer started adding strings to everything.
So you know how much I would give to walk into a hotel in New York and hear that. I mean, oh geez,
it's just like from a different time. I love it's also record number.
Geez, I mean open G
open
records.
G so funny. That's also record number 00. Like that's the,
there you go.
Very cool. Yeah, I love that sound. Again, not something I would have expected to hear from you.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I love that too.
That would go great with...
Well, it's mod.
Yeah. It's just... to me, that's like... It's early soul. And it would go great with Anne Fleming, You're Just One Man.
Oh, yeah, I think.
Oh, great.
The track we're going to finish with goes would go well with this.
Okay.
It's now...
A new addition to
A new addition. But before we end off...
And go to the 45.
Yeah, right after. We're gonna give a little walk to the dogs here. I'm again dog sitting for a Olympic gold medalist.
Pat Foisy, the official kennel of the Olympics.
Choopy is right at your feet.
Oh, Choopy, he's down there.
And Lick is gonna be Lick is on the couch.
Lick's had enough of us.
So I'm going to plug two big, parties.
Upcoming fangs. Some doodang fangs.
So if you're ever, in the very bustling city of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, November 18th to the 20th, come and dance your ass off at the Keystone Soul Weekender. So I'll be there with a bunch of more talented DJs.
I wonder how many listeners we have that live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Well, if you do, come and say hi.
Yeah.
Just say, I listened to the podcast and you were talking about me.
Hey, maybe Dr. Oz will be there.
God. but some listeners are going to be there, Chaz Gibson. He's going to spin.
Some friends of the show.
Friends from the show.
They're all trekking Al to Atchison beautiful Lancaster. Be there. Ooh, the hot dog man.
Of course. So I'm going to be well surrounded.
You'll be repping Canada.
So, Maude Marty is going to be there.
Oh, man.
So I this won't be by myself.
This is a shindig.
So, yeah. Come and join us on the dance floor, a proper wooden dance floor at the Elks Lodge in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
When I think soul music, I think Elks Lodge.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. And the following weekend, I'll be back in Montreal, and it's going to be the imported Toronto With It night in Montreal with DJ Nico and DJ Pat the Brat.
Fun.
Yeah.
You got a lot going on.
Yeah. Busy and I, sometimes you have that feeling, that vibe, that it's going to be big and it's going to be like one hell of a party.
Yeah.
I just have that feeling.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. So if you're in Montreal, Friday, November 25th at the Bar La Chope, the With It Night, 60s Soul Party. Come and join us.
Should be good.
Yeah.
Hope it gets packed.
Are you going to be there?
Probably. Yeah. Pop in.
All right.
A little hello. A casual, hi. And then disappear into the night, like I normally do. Anyhow, what are we ending off this bad boy with before we go over to the quote-unquote 45 show thing that's happening?
So you want to plug your social media?
Yes. Shulman the Soul Man on Instagram. The Addicted to the Needle Facebook page, Instagram page, my Discogs, the company sleeve. 15,045 strong, so come buy some shit.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Parka Avenue, so come and join the fun.
Yeah, just, come do all the stuff.
So we're ending off on a sort of R&B track from a artist called Prentice Moreland.
Oh, yeah,
ring a bell?
Yeah, definitely.
Could be a fake moldy oldie name. Prentice
now
Moreland.
Now every time you say anything, I think it's fake.
It's on Challenge.
Yes, this is ringing a bell.
And the A-side is called Holy Mackerel. Pretty cool track. It's the A-side, so it's, it's solid. But for some reason, we're going to flip it. We're going to play the B-side.
For some reason.
Well, you're going to understand the reason. Because, and you know what? You read the title.
Okay.
You introduce
it. I wonder if it has something to do with
food.
Have
you have the honors. Oh, well, you'll see.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go.
Well, that makes sense. Teacher Drives Me Crazy, written by Jerry Fuller.
So is that a Pat track or what?
Oh, is it ever? You're the best teacher I know. Would have been funny if you would have been my teacher. I honestly think that could have, yeah.
Could have ended our relationship.
Yeah, before it even started. Anyway, thank you everybody for listening. The teacher drives me crazy. Man, maybe your students got together with Prentice Moreland and, you know, went back in time to, what'd you say this was, 61?
I don't know. I didn't make a note of it.
Just looking at it, it looks probably more 63, 64. But I'm curious to hear it because I never have. Well, thank you for listening, everyone. And we will report back next episode about how the 45 show at a bar cafe thing was.
Cafe Atomique, yeah.
All right.
And keep on keeping on.
9 o'clock in the class, four hearts beating fast, don't know what to do. Coming soon, school lets out in June. Who cares?